As most of you know, we've been in a search for a minister. We've had two candidates come to speak to us so far. Today, our third candidate is here is Bert Paddock. Most of us are familiar with Bert. We know him well. We love him. Bert's background has been in youth and adult ministry. He has a BA from Harding University. He has a Master of Theological Studies from Lipscomb University. He's been back here with us now for a few years, and he is going to speak to us today. Bert, we welcome you. Thank you.
Hello. Is that better? You like that? Okay. Well, that's a start, right? All right. So points for that. All right. Well, first of all, let's just get it out of the way. Yeah? You have never seen one of these on me before, have you? All right. So my wife, she did a good job. She picked me out a nice jacket. All right. I might call this my church jacket, my dinner jacket, my working in the backyard jacket. So this is my jacket, and I knew you guys would like that. The Himes called me out when I came in. The first thing was like, oh, somebody dressed up. So anyway, we'll just start off there. But I want you to know, first and foremost, I'm, as always, excited to speak. I love when I get to share with you guys the things that are on my heart, where God has been working on me, and I hope there's some commonality. I think sometimes when the preacher gets up here, yeah, he's preaching from his perspective, but I think a lot of time the Spirit overflows from you to me, and I preach from our perspective, because there is that one Spirit that seems to navigate through us all, and I think he shares among his children what's going on in the kingdom, what's going on in our hearts. And so I'm excited about that. There's a couple things that I want to do. I want to share, first of all, an incredible gratitude towards you guys. A couple weeks ago, my father passed away, and you know, I made a trip out to Colorado, got to spend time with my family and my mom, and our family is going through that grieving process, and that's a journey. But I want to tell you guys, what an amazing community I am a part of. I cannot tell you. I've got them. There's a stack of cards at home that have come from several of you. And just the love and the encouragement and the texts and the phone calls, it's been amazing to be continually reminded that I am loved, that my family is loved, and that I am being poured over in prayer. And so that was a huge blessing. Some of you wanted to do so much more. Mom lives in the middle of the mountains, so the idea of catering a meal just could not happen. Some of you are like, hey, Bert, we want to send you. And I'm like, you don't get it. There are no grocery stores in town. We don't have a town, all right? There are no fast food places. You would have to drive food 40 miles to get to Mom's house. But you guys, you're outpouring in love and concern and attention and affection, and not just me, but also for my wife and our kids, has been amazing. And I could not imagine this journey outside of the kingdom. I would not want to imagine that. So what a blessing it is to be a part of the kingdom. And so I want to thank you for that. And then I want to just kind of pray over us this morning, and then I want us to go into our lesson this morning. So let me pray with us. Father, thank you for the stillness and the peace that you provide. Thank you for the understanding and the wisdom that we do not attain on our own, but that you give to us, allowing us to glimpse the mind of Christ, Father, to understand just a little bit about who we are and who you are. And Father, what that brings to us is immeasurable. What that does for us is transformative. And Lord, I pray the same this morning, that as we look into your Son, as we look at you, as we mine our way through the text today, that Father, somewhere in this moment, you transform, you lift up, you rescue. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so I want you to know, and I tell you this every time, you are the beloved sons and daughters of God. You are the beloved sons and daughters, even the people in the balcony, all right? I know you guys don't get a lot of attention, but you guys are the beloved sons and daughters of God. Please know that. Okay? And today I want to flesh out why that is. I know you guys are like, Bert, that's the same thing every week. You get up here, you tell us that. Yeah, I get that. Okay? But I want us to kind of fish some of that out of the text this morning, because it's important for us to know that. One of the things as I age and get older, and of course, you know, I reflect a little bit about what's occurred in my family, but every time I go through a transition in life, a life stage, I have to go back and I have to ask myself, who am I in light of the new circumstances? You know, a few weeks ago, I woke up to the reality that I don't have a dad. You know, I hate that. There are days I want to pick him up and call him, you know, because he knows everything. And so that reality sets in, and I have to sit back and I go, who am I now that part of my reality has changed? And so that kind of context is constantly going on. I mean, think about it. Go back to maybe you're in high school. And within a decade, think about this, you guys, for those of you in my teens, within a decade, 10 years, this many, okay, you can count that high, I know you math teachers. Within 10 years, you will go from junior high, high school to college, and for some of you, already into non-college. You will go from the 13-year-old awkward stumble to the ultra-cool senior, to the incoming freshman, to the college graduate, to the young man and young women seeking a life career. And that whole time you're being redefined, and the question is, who are you? It's one thing to say, who will I be? You know, what are you going to be when you grow up? It's another thing to get there and actually say, this is who I am. And then, let's say you're not in that bubble. Let's say you're the bubble out of that. You're single, you're married, and you're a parent. Within 10 years, who are you? Do you know who you are? In that one decade, we redefine, we retool ourselves, and we have to answer that question. Or I'm 50, and then I'm an empty nester, and then I'm retired, and then I'm a grandparent. Within 10 years, who are you? Some of you right in the thick of that. Or maybe it's more communal. We're a church of 400. We select new elders. We're looking for a minister. COVID hits. Who are we? Sometimes we're a digital community. Sometimes we're an in-person community. Sometimes we're half of our community. You know, who are we, and where are we going to get informed? How are we going to find out what happens and how we define ourselves in light of changes? Because every one of you finds yourself in a decade where life gets turned upside down. In the next 10 years, your world will turn upside down, no matter who you are, no matter what decade you are in. That transformation is coming. And so maybe we don't know what to do with that, but let's go back and let's look at the text a little bit, and let's think about some of those who are you moments for them. You know, maybe you're a small nomadic tribe following a guy named Abraham around. There you are. And then maybe you're Isaac, or maybe then you're Jacob, and now maybe you're a small nation, a handful of families. And now you're in Egypt because there's a famine in the land. Okay, Israel, who are you? Or maybe through the famine, now you've exploded in population, and now you're a slave community at the hands of some very brutal pharaohs, and you've just met Moses. Who are you? Or maybe you're roaming through the desert within 40 years now, you're in part of the promised land, and now you're working with leaders in war. Who are you, Israel? And now you have a king, and his name is Saul, and now you have a king, and his name is David, and he is a man after God's own heart. What kind of nation will you be? Or maybe your nation begins to fall apart, and now your rulers are evil, and now they've come to export you into slavery because what you did have is now gone. And the question is, who are you? Maybe you're a first century small fledgling church that gets persecuted and then dispersed. And within a century, you're spread out all over the Middle East and you follow a resurrected yet crucified Savior. Who are you, church? And these become the questions that drive us. And here's the thing. Here's the importance. If we do not pursue this question, if you do not begin to understand your identity, then your identity will begin to be defined by others. Someone else will tell you what you're worth. Somebody else will tell you who you are and what your purpose is if you choose not to answer these questions yourself. And so this morning, I want us to spend some time looking at who we are. And by the way, I'm preaching to me as much as you, okay? So I want to go all the way back to the text. I want to go to Genesis. And by the way, I'm going to be running through the text, okay? If you want to write these down, you can go back and look them up, okay? I'm sure it'll be recorded somewhere. But I'll be moving quickly. And so don't feel like you've got to flip. Occasionally, if you want to catch on, that's fine. But I don't want you to lose what we're hearing in a search, okay? We can always come back to this. And I love it when I hear the pages flip, by the way. That's awesome, okay? But I also want you to be in tune with what's coming out, and I want you to understand. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man, male and female, he created them. Who are we? We are the image of God. Okay? Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea. Who are we? We are blessed and we are co-rulers in God's creation. You are of the image of God and you are blessed. Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. You are God's version of very good. I want you to look to the person next to you and I want you to tell them, you are very good. Now, I saw Jim tell it to Lisa. Lisa just raised her eyebrows. I think Jim said something like, you are very good. Lisa said, you're acceptable. Okay? Some of you said, you are very good. And the person next to you said, you're a work in progress. You are very good. God's version of very good. Genesis 28:14. I am with you. I will watch over you. Wherever you go, I will bring you back. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Who are we? We are blessed and we are never alone. Joshua 1:8. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Let me back up because I want to give you some context. I struggle with that. I want to give you the extra verse and save the time all at the same time. So here's the extra verse. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Who are you? We are created to be strong. We are created to be courageous. We are always in God's presence wherever we go. We are in His image, and that image has an intentional design, strength, and courage, and community. We are never left outside of that. Psalms 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never let you fall. We are never to be let to fall. Psalms 23:1, I love this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Who are we? We are those that will never have a want. Now, some of you are listening to this like, wait a minute, Bert, I have some wants. And I agree, I get that. Wait a minute, Bert, I have fallen. I get that. But we're talking on an internal perspective. We're talking on a God-embraced perspective. What we consider fall, God does not consider fall. We are never unloved by Him. We are never uncared for by Him. We are never abandoned by Him. Psalm 34, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. Who are we? Listen, when we cry out, we have a voice in heaven. Who are we? We are those with a voice in heaven. We are those that are delivered from trouble. Psalm 34, 9. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. I know sometimes we look at that as prophecy pointing to Christ, but before it was prophecy pointing to Christ, it was talking to David. And after it was done talking to David, it talked to the nation of Israel, and then it talked to Christ, and then we claim that promise as well. Who are we? We are protected by the Father. But you, O Israel, Isaiah 41, I love it, Isaiah. Isaiah is rich with this. You are my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen. Your descendants of Abraham, my friend. Who are we? We are chosen, and we are counted his friend. Isaiah 41, 9, I look to you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners. I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. We are sought out by Yahweh. We are chosen. We are not to be rejected. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up. We are strengthened. We are held up. And we are held together. We're starting to get the language of community. Not just me, but us. Strengthened. Held together. Held up. Protected. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you. You are mine. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Who are we? We are created. We are intentional. We are formed. There is a reason for us. We are redeemed. We are summoned. We have purpose. We have not been orphaned. Listen, O house of Jacob, all you who remain in the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived, I have carried you since birth. Even in your old age, gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you. Who can compare to me? Who is my equal? This is the Lord speaking. To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Who are you? We are upheld. We are conceived, cared for, since creation, our creation, global creation, church creation. We are sustained and rescued even in old age from birth to death. We have purpose. We have someone who cherishes and loves. I mean, you know, think about it. As you get older, pretty soon you start to feel, at least I do, I can't speak for all of you. Sometimes you're like, man, I'm feeling a little neglected here, feeling a little old here, you know. Suddenly my hip's hurting again. Suddenly I can't see as far. You know, I'm wearing old man shoes. That's what my wife says, you know. And so from birth to death, he is with us. Can a mother forget her baby at her breast and have no compassion? Though she may forget, I will never forget. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. You are never forgotten. Who are we? We are loved with an everlasting love. Zephaniah 3, we are delighted and rejoiced. Are you listening? You are the beloved. But wait, Bird, that's Old Testament. That's the nation of Israel. That's God and the Hebrews. What about us? Do they really know me? Have they stepped in my shoes for a while? Let's see what that has to say. You know, forget that Paul tells Timothy all Scripture, okay, including the Old Testament, is worth something, as God breathes, is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training. Forget that for a moment. What about the Hebrews writer? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. Whatever was said by Yahweh will be fulfilled by Christ, in Christ, and through Christ. So all that we've just processed in the Old Testament is still our heritage. But sometimes we need to hear it afresh. Sometimes we need to hear it anew. I want to change up some vocabulary here, because in the Old Testament, it's the righteous, the righteous, the righteous. And some of you are sitting there, well, I'm not exactly righteous, okay? And I understand that. That's how we look at ourselves sometimes, because we don't understand we're the sons and daughters of God yet. When we look in the mirror, we see the unrighteous, so we don't claim those Old Testament ones. So in the New Testament, we're going to change the language here. He's not going to use the righteous. He's going to see those of you in Christ. He doesn't say those of you in Christ that are perfect and have it all together. He just says if you're in Christ. If you want a definition of what it means to be in Christ, go read 1 Corinthians and then compare yourself. If you have to go there, do that. They were a train wreck. And they were brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't even have to make it past verse 6. And he's telling them who they are in Christ. So everything, yes, if you're not righteous and you feel like the Old Testament doesn't apply, now the language is going to change and it's going to say in Christ. So if you're in Christ, listen closely. All right? As we move forward, Matthew chapter 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You guys know this, right? Who are we? We are cared for and looked after. He knows who you are. Luke 12, 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Who are we? We are valued and cherished enough that he seeks to and knows us intimately. And he still loves me. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave up all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who are we? We are highly valued and graciously cared for. Romans 8:37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, you know what's going on here, neither height nor depth, nothing will separate us. Who are we? We are conquerors. We are loved. We are inseparable from the love of Christ. We are immovable in that reality. Romans 9:25, he's quoting Hosea. I will call them my people who are not my people. I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. Who are we? We are a people. We are loved. We are the beloved. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple? God's Spirit resides in you. Who are we? We are the Spirit. We are the temple of the Spirit of the living God. He resides within us. I love Colossians. I was tempted just to speak out of Colossians this week, but we had a lessons on Colossians last week, so I didn't get to speak out of Colossians. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to use a little bit of Colossians, okay? So don't feel too bad there. Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds. This is Colossians 1:21. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, and this is this in faith, in Christ language, okay? If you continue established and firm, not moved from the hope, okay? We are continuing in the hope of the reality that is held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Who are we? We are reconciled. We are without blemish. We are innocent. We are established in hope of the reality of Christ, and we are in the service of the only King. Now, that's a job description I can handle. What's your job? I work for the one and only King. Ever? Or will be. That's my role. Colossians 3, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated, okay? At the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not only on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him. Who are we? We are raised in Christ. We are hidden in Christ, in God. We appear in glory. Colossians 3, we have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Who are we? We are new and we are being renewed daily. Not just new at the time of the birth and baptism, okay, but every day, renewed, reestablished, reaffirmed. This is who we are. Colossians 3:12, we are the chosen people. We are holy. We are dearly beloved. 1 John 3, verse 1, who are we? We are adored. We are the children of the living God. Ephesians 2, verse 4, who are we? We are made alive in Christ. We are saved. We are raised up. We sit in heavenly realms. We are God's workmanship. God doesn't make mistakes. Philippians 4, 19 and 20, who are we? We are without need. Are you listening? When the world tries to define us, and the world does, Monday through Saturday night, late, the world gets on its work gloves and begins throwing punches. And the world will say, you're sick, you're dying, you're defeated, you're addicted, you've got debt, you're a sinner, you're divorced. He just keeps throwing labels at us all the time, trying to redefine us into that which we are not. We need to live into the definition that the Father has given us, that the Lord has given us. We need to live into that truth. Everything about us has changed. We live differently. We parent differently. We are different when we live into the knowledge that we are the beloved sons and daughters of God. Tell a story real quick. Scanning out there. Okay, so I'm visiting with a guy a couple days ago, and we have lunch, and he's a recovering alcoholic. And I say, okay, how do you do that? And he says, I'll tell you how I did it. When I started loving the guy in the mirror, when I love him, when he is the beloved, then I begin to rise above what the world has defined me to be. Guys, we see this in abuse. We see this with spouses that are abused. Until they start loving themselves, then all they know is the love of the spouse, which is awful. I see this in children that are abused. If all they know is the love of an abusive situation, they cannot rise above. If all the addict sees is the addiction and the sin, if that's all we can see, if that's how we define ourselves, then we live into that narrative. Okay? So the opposite is true. When we begin to see ourselves as the beloved, when that's who you embrace to be, I'm out of a job. I will no longer need to preach when you start living as the beloved sons and daughters of God, because you will be living the message that I attempt, but you will be living it on a daily basis, and I try to convey it in 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. When you understand that you are the beloved sons and daughters of God, I can go get a different job. Not that I'm looking forward to that, okay? So don't, you know, don't like, hey, we got to get Bert a different job. Step it up, okay? But that's the reality of it. When we live into that reality, okay? And here's what you need to know. A new command, John 13, 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. When I embrace my belovedness and in turn embrace your belovedness, guess what happens? Based on that command right there, if I embrace the fact that he loves me and in turn I begin to love you as the Father is loving me, but I can't love you until I understand the Father loves me. I cannot treat you as beloved until I understand that I am beloved. And when I am beloved and I treat you as beloved, watch what happens there. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, they won't have to walk through the building to figure it out, because they'll see you at the coffee shop. They'll see you at the lumberyard. They will see you at the ball field. They will see you parenting. They will see you lifting each other up and encouraging one another. And if they ever walk through the door, they'll be blown away by the way we interact and the way we engage. If we do not hold on to that truth, if we cannot live into that reality, then we are not living to what we were called to be. We are not imaging God well if we refuse to allow him to define us. These are just a few texts. I could have gone on and on the number of times that God sends the message of the value of his created people. He loves us with an everlasting love. From the very beginning, we have been God's version of very good. I've seen some artists, and then there's me. And when I paint and I think it's very good, it looks terrible. You do not want to buy one of mine, although I'll put something on paper and sell it, okay? But God's version of very good, when that artist sits down at the tapestry, and he steps back, he says, that is very good. So we've talked about a few things. We talked about what do we do, kind of where do we go. We started with this idea of just sitting in the presence of God. Remember, what's next? Remember we started that conversation, next steps. Next steps was just sit and allow God to be with us in the moment of whatever we're going through, whether it was the COVID, whether it's the death of a spouse or the death of a parent, whether it's the brokenness of community or our church. And we said, just sit. And then we said, you know, after we've sat with God for a minute, let us begin to go out and look for the marginalized in our community. Remember that? We were going to go out and we're going to find those that need to know that God still loves them. And today what I'm calling you to is the reality and the living out of the truth that you are the beloved sons and daughters of God. Now, I'm not foolish here. I know Satan does his homework on each one of us. I think he's got a file on us that says Bert's weaknesses, you know, and he pushes those buttons. And he's going to convince me every day. He's going to try. Every day he's going to wake up and say, my job is to convince Bert that he is not the beloved. Because when he is not the beloved, he doesn't live like the beloved, and I can take the day off. See, if Satan gets the message across, he can get a new job. But if we get the message off, I get a new job. Because you are the beloved. And you get to go out and live that. You get to preach what we talk about here in a few minutes. And so I want you guys, if you need to come to that reality, if you need a little bit of a wake-up call, maybe you just need some encouragement. Maybe you need the horizontal. The vertical is said, you are the beloved, you are the beloved. And sometimes the horizontal is where we get the wrong message. Because the horizontal relationship is not saying you're the beloved. So we're going to stand and sing in a moment. And if you're struggling with that horizontal, all right, if you're not getting that message, then we are the church. That is what we do. That is what we are designed and best at. There is not another institution on this world or this planet that can import or export that reality to you as well as the people of the kingdom of God. God's the author of it. We get that. But he calls us into that ministry. We are co-workers in the kingdom to send that horizontal ministry and value that you are the beloved sons and daughters of God. And when we get that message and when we live that message, we're going to see transformation in our homes, in our families, in our church, and in our community. But that is a hard message to embrace fully. And so every Sunday, you need to know. Every Monday, you need to know. You need to get to that point where you look in the mirror and you love what you see facing you, because that is the beloved, that is the cherished, that is the protected, that is the cared for, nurtured, immovable that God sees us and wants us to be. And we just have to embrace that reality. We're going to stand and sing in a moment. And if there's something that resonates with you, you need to come and hear the prayers over you. You need to come and know the love for you. Then I would invite you to come and experience that. If you don't want to do it here, if you want to go to the office or the library where one of our elders can meet you, that's great. I'll tell you this. All of those promises, all of those words were for those in Christ. If you are not in Christ, when you look at that mirror, you are still loved. God still loves you. But you need to love back. You need to embrace that reality fully. And that may mean that you need to come and be baptized into Christ this morning. So as we stand and sing, I would encourage you to do that.